This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in. We made it to Tuesday. What a beautiful afternoon yesterday. You might have seen me, or maybe not, driving around in my convertible yesterday. I had to get it out and blow the dust off of it, go get it cleaned up just to park it back in my garage. But still, it was about time. First time this spring I've seen fit to really get it out. It was nice.
Oh, well, really all week
beautiful.
Except for Friday.
I know.
Looked to be nice.
You got to get out and enjoy this while it lasts, because I was sitting on the back porch yesterday having a drink about 5 o'clock or so, and a mosquito landed on my left arm. And my wife was on the front porch and swear she saw either a wasp or some flying, because she's terrified of flying insects. She saw either a bee or a wasp or something on the front porch. How did that happen so quickly?
I've seen wasps. We have a wasp nest in our backyard,
yeah,
and I've seen those for months.
It was like 5 degrees 2 weeks ago. How did that happen so quickly? So all I can hope is that we get back to some moderate below freezing temperature that wipes them all out from the face of the earth.
Well, what do you think? I would love that.
Yes.
I am one of those people who it's like, yeah. I attract mosquitoes. They do say certain blood types are more prone to mosquito bites. I think I'm A positive. And I'm telling you, I will be outside for 15 minutes. I'll come in with 30 mosquito bites.
My wife has the same issue. So I don't know. But it's possible. I'm just saying, I was really surprised to see flying insects that quickly. But I'm just saying, it just seems like it's too early.
For
goodness
yeah.
sake. You know, it's the 11th day of March.
They're just as excited as we are to have some relief.
I guess.
They're all partying.
They've been ready to bust out for a while now, for sure. At least we don't have to mow grass just yet. But you better get that pre-emergent on your grass soon. Hey, by the way, we got lots of good stuff coming up. We got the former Senator John Lamping. We got Nick Schroer, the state senator, is going to join us here in a few minutes to talk about the, guess what? The crime bill. It got back to the Senate yesterday. It got perfected, sent back to the House. It's going to go to the governor's desk here fairly quickly, I imagine. And the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, among many other things in the bill, the SLMPD will be back under state control. There had to be some accommodations made in this bill, I understand. We'll iron all that out with Senator Schroer coming up here in just a few minutes. And then a little later, we're going to talk to Attorney General Andrew Bailey. So get ready for all of that. Carl Middleman, right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
It is absolutely necessary. We've been historically talking about a merger or a combination between the city and county, but I'm increasingly thinking that we could and should consider St. Charles.
Joe, did you hear it? Did you hear it, Kim St. Ange? She's coming. It's not just about getting in the wallets of people in St. Louis County now. Now city leaders like Kara Spencer, who might be the next mayor, want to get in the wallets of the people out in St. Charles County, just in case you missed that.
I was willing to give up whatever might be the tracking of Kamala Harris's particular fondness for nacho cheese Doritos.
I just want to let that soak in for a minute. Toast yourself this morning, please, that woman did not become president of the United States. Thank you.
Breaking tonight, the state's quest to take over St. Louis Metropolitan Police clears a major hurdle. Now the future over who will control the police department is becoming more clear.
Yes, it is becoming more clear. It's going to be a board of five people that will include potentially the, would include the mayor, potentially Kara Spencer, if that's who we just heard from a minute ago, if she wins the race. This thing is moving forward to the governor's desk soon, I believe.
The mayor no longer enjoys the confidence of the people in this building. She couldn't even be bothered to reach out to the senator who represents nearly the entire city of St. Louis, nor engage with any of our Democratic allies.
Oh, if you've kind of wondered how Tashara Jones' fate has fallen here in city politics, that's the only interview you need to listen to right there. That's State Senator Steve Roberts. Now, we've had him on the show over the years, and he was blasting her yesterday over the fact that this crime bill passed. Now, he doesn't support local control, or he doesn't support state control. He supports local control. But he blames the mayor for not, like, asking for help sooner. Do you understand? Like, she circled the wagons with her own little crowd, according to him. Didn't even, like, there's some bad blood between them, right? Because of the whole Cora Faith Walker issue that happened a couple years ago. And allegations that flew back and forth between those two before and after she passed away. And because of that, she did not reach out to work with him to fight this state takeover of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department at all. Like, they didn't combine forces at all. Remember one of the big knocks against former Governor Greitens when he got in office is that when he got in trouble politically, his problem was he didn't have any allies. Like, he'd pissed off so many people, his opponents would tell you, within the party, that he didn't have anybody to go to sort of rally the troops and defend him. And it sounds to me like, according to Steve Roberts, the very much the same thing has happened to Tashara Jones in city politics. Carl, play all of Cut 12 for the people, please.
But what became abundantly clear was that the mayor no longer enjoys the confidence of the people in this building. She couldn't even be bothered to reach out to the senator who represents nearly the entire city of St. Louis, nor engage with any of our Democratic allies. She's lost the support of both police unions, and even more importantly, has demonstrated by the election results on Tuesday, she has lost the trust of the citizens of St. Louis City.
This ball is rolling.
Tashara is mad about this. She feels like this is... She was
backstabbing.
Well, yeah, her words were that the vote was a complete disregard to for democracy. And Kara Spencer has been vocal about this too, saying I'm fighting this in court. I mean, even the conservative candidate who was running for mayor against those women, I'm pretty sure he was against state control too. I don't think there were any candidates running for mayor here in the city of St. Louis that were in favor of state control.
I don't remember. We had Andrew Jones on here. He would have been the only person of the four major contenders who were on the ballot that was a Republican, even though they didn't have party affiliation listed on there.
I'm pretty sure we asked him, and I think he said he was not in favor of that.
I don't remember what his answer was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be a power thing. They just, even though they would be on this board of commissioners, there would be other people they'd be splitting the power with, and they wouldn't like that, is my take, at least.
I've been around a long time. I thought it was a horrible idea when it happened. But at least with Francis Slay, you had a little more moderation in kind of how he approached things. So when it went back to local control there at some point, you didn't fear it going downhill like the defund the police movement and all that crap that's happened. That's what's led this situation to degenerate. it really has, I think, to the point where this can't go on. It's not sustainable. We'll talk to Nick Schroer about it coming up here in a minute, find out how soon he thinks this might land on Governor Kehoe's desk. How about that? And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to former Senator John Lamping. You heard that bite I played a minute ago at the top of the show there with Kara Spencer, talking about not just a city-county merger, but maybe reaching all the way out to some of these other local communities like St. Charles. I found that gem on a Business Journal interview that she did back in February, and I haven't heard that nowhere else. So that was kind of breaking news this morning. We'll ask John Lamping about it at the bottom of the hour.
71 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Breaking tonight, the state's quest to take over St. Louis Metropolitan Police clears a major hurdle. Now the future over who will control the police department is becoming more clear.
The Missouri Senate now sending a public safety bill back to the House that includes a state takeover of St. Louis Police.
Yeah, lawmakers are trying to push that legislation to the governor's desk as soon as possible.
ASAP, as soon as possible. How about that? We told you this was probably going to happen on Monday. And lo and behold, they got it done yesterday. We've got Missouri Senator Nick Schroer on the line this morning from District 2 there. Nick, how are you?
I am wonderful, as I could be after passing this thing at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I'll bet you could. Yeah, I appreciate you giving me some time this early in the morning, my friend. So you guys had to get this thing perfected, and it goes back to the House. Is there any chance they change anything over there?
No, I've had a lot of conversations with Republicans, with Democrats. You know, in the Senate, this is something that the news, I don't know, depending upon the news source, may not illustrate is that this is massively bipartisan. Only five Democrats voted against this thing. We've got some good friends, Steve Butts, who I know usually does the roundtable with me, and Mark Reardon show.
Right.
But he's going to be massively helpful getting some of the Dems to vote for it. So these conversations that I've had have indicated there's no changes that are going to be made. They're going to take this and send it to the governor's desk, likely on Wednesday.
What are some of the other provisions of the bill? Everybody focuses on, of course, state control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, but there are some other big issues in there, right?
Yeah, so one of the big issues that we worked with the prosecutors and law enforcement on some illegal immigration provisions. So currently, nobody really knows where the data is going. If you find out that somebody's an illegal immigrant at a traffic stop or domestic violence, there's really no central database for that. So this would ensure that all of these criminals or defendants are being processed accordingly, and that information is being fed to the state, and then that's given to the federal government to hopefully work with the Trump administration in getting some of these illegals out of our country. We've got the street takeover bill, or the street takeover provision that was in the Senate bill as well, which deals with these people joyriding in the city of St. Louis, Kansas City, Columbia, Greene County, and we're focusing on the ones that are using their cars to do, you know, donuts and drag races on Washington Avenue, you know, right where you guys are downtown, and injuring people or killing people. We've got the exposure to children with fentanyl. So there's a ton of different provisions that are in here that you're working with public safety, working with the prosecutors, they really wanted. And then in negotiations with Stephen Roberts, the Democrat from the city of St. Louis, we put some provisions in there that voters may understand, went to the governor's desk before, but Mike Parson vetoed for a variety of reasons. So we've got a payment for those that have been wrongfully convicted and then let out of jail. That was a provision of a bill that got sent to the governor's desk a number of years ago, but we just haven't gotten it back to him or to Mike Kehoe. So we were very careful to ensure that there are provisions in there that the governor's still going to be okay with on the Democrat side, and we're confident that after Wednesday, this will be signed into law.
Tashara Jones has been very vocal about her opposition to this. Kara Spencer has said, if I'm elected, I'll fight this in court. Because you're saying this is such a bipartisan effort, do they really have any legs to stand on?
We don't think so. The provisions of a citizen board control, or previously the state board control, was still injected into statute. And this is something that Jane Duker and I have talked about at many different committee hearings over the years. When I was in the House, now that I'm in the Senate, we brought that up. This is already existing law. And there were provisions on obligations of the state if certain obligations and priorities weren't met by Tashara Jones and her administration. It was our duty, especially pursuant to the 10th Amendment, for us to stand up and take that power back. So when it comes to the citizen board control, I don't think they've got a leg to stand on. We've got an emergency clause that's going to kick this thing into effect, the citizen board control, as soon as the governor signs it, I think 30 days thereafter. Other provisions in there that have been tried and tested by the prosecutors and working with attorneys on both sides of the aisle to make sure, look, if we're going to negotiate after 10 hours of a filibuster, do you want to come back here? Let's get this thing done right. So we think that this is going to withstand the judicial scrutiny that we know is going to come, whether it's Tashara Jones or Kara Spencer.
Yeah. Nick Schroer, our guest this morning, state senator. Has your position changed at all on the Bear Roundup bill that's sitting over there in the Senate?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And, you know, I'm trying to encourage some of the colleagues of mine to say, look, let's take it up for a vote. I know they're spending tons of money in our districts, misleading us about what this bill does. No, fact of the matter is it's granting blanket immunity to an out of state corporation, Bayer, which is owned by a conglomerate in Germany. And then Chem China, which bought out Syngenta, is Chinese company. So we're not going to grant blanket immunity to any company. I don't care if it's Toys R Us, Blockbuster, Target. I don't care. If you were injured in the state of Missouri, if you were a constituent, you should have your Seventh Amendment right to be made whole and be compensated in our courts.
Yeah. I got a minute left here, Nick. I saw yesterday where your President Donald J. Trump highway bill passed out of committee yesterday. Is that thing moving?
It is moving. There are a couple Democrats that are going to kick and scream, even though this is only limited to my district. It goes from Highway D to T, so it's perfect for Donald Trump. D to T through defiance, and that's something that man exemplifies, is pure defiance.
That's awesome. Nick Schroer, thanks for some time this morning, my friend.
Absolutely. God bless you all. Have a great week.
We will talk soon. Senator Nick Schroer there. Coming up, former Senator John Lamping. We'll talk more about mayoral candidate Spencer's comments on, I don't know, city-county government merger reaching all the way out to St. Charles. We'll be back in just a minute.
But I think it is absolutely necessary. We've been historically talking about a merger or a combination between the city-county, but I'm increasingly thinking that we could and should consider St. Charles and some of the surrounding areas in some meaningful way. That's not to say one giant government structure, but the broader St. Louis area, we have to figure out how we work better together.
Oh, there it is. Those words that we all dread so much. Better together. Let's get former Senator John Lamping in on this conversation this morning. John, how are you?
Good morning, Mark. Kim, yeah, better together rises from the grave.
It rises from the grave. And that is straight from an interview with Kara Spencer, most likely the next mayor from the city of St. Louis, it appears, doing an interview with the St. Louis Business Journal. And, you know, you pointed me to an op-ed that's in there, a guest column, the case for an incremental city-county merger. And after I got done reading that, and the key word being incremental, which is how the left works in this country. They want to impose these changes incrementally so you don't see the big picture. I also found the article on Kara Spencer and the soundbite that you just heard admitting that she not just wants to talk about merging with St. Louis County, but maybe Jefferson County and St. Charles County and a lot of different people.
Yeah, the progressive vision of what this should be is that all the Collar counties need to do more to support what's going on in the city. They ignore the fact that we all contribute to the community, but they really don't like the fact that that we're not paying for our fair share of the stadiums and the zoo and all that kind of stuff. Even though it's a zoo tax, they think that without the things they have to offer, that the quality of life in the Collar counties wouldn't be that good. So I don't, you know, when you and I first met back in 2018 to push against Better Together, that was really, I think, the first salvo. And they learned from that. And I think what they're going to do this time is they are going to go slowly and methodically. They really can't do anything until Sam Page is replaced. I think Tashar had to be replaced, and she's just about done now. And I think Sam will be replaced in 2026. And so my thinking is that somewhere thereafter is when this push will really start.
I have to ask you about that. You're talking about Sam Page being replaced. I mean, I would love that. Not that I live in St. Louis County, but do you think Dennis Hancock, who just announced he's going to run against Page, actually has a chance, or do you think it would be another liberal?
Well, I think it'll be Brian Williams, the state senator from Ferguson. And Brian has been down in Jeff City. I think this is his second term he's in now. He's very well thought of, young man. I mean, not young man. He's in his late 30s. But he's up and coming. He works well with both sides. I know you just had Nick on. I'm sure Nick gets along with him great. And I think he'll be the person that'll be pushed forward. I'm not telling you that Sam's not going to try to win. But if you look around the country, what's happening to Tashar right now, it's happening just about everywhere, where this real far-left progressive approach to city governing is losing out. And it's losing out to a left approach to city governing, just not as far left. But I think that if Brian Williams declares his candidacy for that office, I think he'll win that seat pretty easily.
Wow. In a primary, so you're talking about primarying Sam Page.
Yeah, I think he'll primary Sam Page, and I think he'll win. And I think that he would then turn around and the county, unfortunately, is, I think, lost to Republican leadership. I heard Hancock explain how he thinks there's a path, and there's always a path to everything. Heck, I won a district that was 60% Democrat, but I think that Brian is a solid enough political person. He's a well spoken guy, and I think that he'll. he would do well in that race.
Interesting. We'll see what happens. I think I've met him. I might have had him on one time. I'm trying to remember why, but I know I'm familiar with him. We'll have to try to get him on here again at some point, maybe.
I think he's got a long-term political future if he wants one. I think he could be the St. Louis County executive for a certain period of time. He would definitely be the congressperson of choice. Hmm. He was being considered last go-round for the first district. And I think the Democrats look at who's on their bench. Their bench is really thin, and I think he's got potential to be one of the top two or three people on that bench.
You know, earlier, John, in the show, I was talking a little bit about the stock market diving yesterday, all these talks about tariffs and all of that, and you're in the financial services world. What's your reaction to that? I mean, I deemed it an overreaction if you take the long view, but what's your take on it?
Well, yeah, of course, if you take a long view, look, what the president's trying to do with the Treasury Secretary and all his whole administration is something very, very different. They're trying to create a new approach to how finance works in this country. For the better part of 40 years, we've essentially done massive deficit spending, and we've had what people would qualify as free trade. But the question is, was it fair trade? It certainly was not fair trade. And so he's trying to take down a system that has done very well for itself. And to the extent that he's successful, the country will be better off for it. But there'll be new winners. The old winners that drove the stock market to all-time highs, they may not really benefit quite as much under this new system. So the president himself the other day said, look, the stock market's falling. But he said essentially what I just said, which was that a lot of these big globalist companies have benefited by the system, and it just may not be the case now if they have a new system. So the question is whether or not the president can actually enact what he's trying to do. So there's that couple of short term. You have to remember that the Biden administration, they basically ran on deficit spending. They had $2 trillion a year for all 4 years to deficit spend. The deficit was 6% of the economy was just deficit spending. And so what this administration wants to do is cut that in half. And so it's logical that there'd be a slowdown when you're changing the system and when you're changing government spending. And I also think that the president is quite a student of history. And he knows for a fact that when Reagan first came into office and he changed the economic system, the first 2 years, he actually triggered a recession. And it wasn't until the third and fourth year that it became apparent what he had done and how long-term successful it would be. And many people attribute the rest of the 80s and most of the 90s to the changes that Reagan brought in. So Trump wants to make that kind of change the economic system. So it's not a surprise that in the short run, that he would disrupt the markets that have been very comfortable with the old system. So right. I'm very optimistic. If he's able to enact these changes, I think it's really how we drive ourselves to the next level of prosperity. But in the meantime, there's going to be some parts of the market that are not going to like what he's doing, especially those that were most likely to seek out lowest cost labor across the globe. And because I think those avenues are being closed, and we see announced almost every other day where large corporations are moving their manufacturing back here to the United States. Microsoft announced Apple announced a $500 billion of investment is going to be centered primarily in Southwest, and that's going to be at a cost to their margins. So anyway, I think you're right. Your advice is right. Long term. Things will work out best, but there's going to be some disruptions in the short run.
In the meantime, everything's on sale in the stock market today.
Yes, the key is which things do you buy.
Yeah, that's the key. All right, John, thank you.
I'll grab you one with you. Take care.
Great thoughts there. I appreciate that.
Interesting what he had to say about county executive race. Now I mean, I would love for Sam Page to get...
Well, you know, they'll try to primary him. Absolutely. They see what a disaster it is. He's got a majority on the county council that are Democrats.
and they consistently vote against him. So there is a coalition of people among the Democrats who don't like Sam Page either. They see an opportunity to get Brian in there. They would probably jump at it in a primary.
I hope so. But it, like, the voters keep putting Sam Page in power.
I know.
Was he primaried before? What? Did someone try to run against him in the last election?
Yes, I think so. But the key here is that Democrats keep putting the Democrat candidate back in charge of the county. Mm-hmm. And if they can get him out in the primary, which I think there'll be enough people upset with what he's done to get that done, then whoever the Democrat candidate is goes into it with a big advantage just because of the way the vote falls in the county. It doesn't mean Dennis Hancock can't win. It just means that it's an uphill battle, and he knows it because it's been the 80s since the last time we had a Republican sitting in that chair, for sure. All right, coming up, we will get to you in other news. Next hour, Missouri's Attorney General Andrew Bailey on this auto pen controversy with the Biden administration. Stay tuned.
Happening.
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Gene Simmons, the 75-year-old frontman for Kiss, is offering fans a unique opportunity to serve as his personal assistant and roadie for a day during his solo tour from April 3rd to August 3rd. If this sounds like something you would love to do, Mark, it's going to cost you a nice hefty sum of $12,500.
You have to pay to be his assistant?
To be a roadie.
Yep.
You have to pay to be a roadie?
Yes. So you fetch his coffee or whatever else he needs, and
you'll have lunch with him.
Yeah.
And he might talk to you.
That you probably pay for.
Well, you are paying. You're paying $12,500.
Wait a minute.
I mean, in addition to the $12,000.
Tell me this is a fundraiser for charity or something, right?
No.
Oh, no.
It's a fundraiser for him to raise money for himself.
He's a great businessman. Can I just point that out?
He is. Something. He really
I'm going to go to Rockin' Brews and buy a beer for him just on you know, and tell him to put it on his tab.
It looks like you get to assist with setting up for shows, attending sound check, and enjoying backstage access. Now, if that is too much for you, you can pay just $6,500 for a package where you get a signed bass and a backstage meet and greet. So, you know.
For just $6,000.
Just six.
$6,500.
Wow. Wow. I wouldn't even do that for Sammy Hagar, let alone
all the Kiss songs you like, and I use that term loosely, are sung by Paul.
Right, who won't be on this tour.
Who will not be. This is just
so
Gene.
Is Gene singing those songs on this tour?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Well, I mean, he sings on a number of them, but
back up on all of
it's
them.
It's possible.
But most of the songs that you love by Kiss are Paul Stanley songs.
We're sang by Paul Stanley, right. Right.
The sad part is somebody's going to buy this.
Oh, of course.
Somebody will buy it.
Well, the there are only 25 shows.
Yeah.
So this can only happen 25 times.
Only. Oh.
It's just for one show?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
But he,
that's
as
divorce
you said,
territory.
He's a
if I went home and told
man.
My wife, hey, I'm going to drop $12,000 to go to one show to be a roadie, she'd never talk to me again.
But you get the guitar that's signed by
Are you sure Gene. That's included in the package?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then
well,
it's worth it.
You do
it.
Get a guitar signed by Gene.
But that guitar is not worth $12,000.
Can you sell it for $12,000 would be the question.
Well, you'd have to wait a couple of years.
Yeah. Maybe once he passes. It looks like Wendy Williams, the former talk show host, was transported to a hospital following a wellness check by the NYPD at her assisted living facility. This intervention occurred after Williams reportedly dropped a note from her window pleading for help. Williams, who has been under legal guardianship since 2022 due to health concerns, has been contesting the arrangement, asserting her desire to regain her own life, I guess, basically.
Wow.
She's in
assisted living?
She's saying, she's not allowed to go out, and that her son's taking advantage of her finances. She's been banging on her window doing interviews because she's not allowed to, like, make calls out or something, but they can, or maybe they're not allowed to make calls in. It's a very weird situation. She basically says she's being held hostage there, and it's like a prison cell.
Huh.
Yeah.
She's
it's
also
very
not
weird.
Well.
She's not well, but this whole setup they have going on is not...
Something's off.
Something's weird about it.
They said she underwent a psychiatric evaluation, reportedly scored a perfect 10 out of 10.
Yeah. So now they're wondering why the conservatorship is still in place. Right. Kind of like the Britney Spears thing. They're both there's something off about Wendy Williams and Britney Spears still, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a conservatorship.
Right.
It's a lot of people who are off.
A lot of people off.
That's a very broad answer right there, and it's probably very true.
Hey, coming up, I have a question for you. If the president signs a bill that's supposed to be law, but he's not there when it gets signed, is it still valid? That is a question Missouri's Attorney General has been asking, and we're going to get an answer straight from him in the next hour. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.